independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
Just the three guys come down in the Audi car and shoot the police and kill one of the police, and one is injured.
Shooting at the Champs-Élysées, the day before the election, big election there in France. And what do we have? An attacker, by the way, that the police and the French security knew was involved in radical Islamic activities. One police officer is killed. The shooter is also dead. They said that the French officials have said it was a targeted attack. Claimed to be a fighter for ISIS carrying out the attack. And we'll keep you abreast of what's going on there. We will. I mean, the truth is, it's another incident, and Europe is dealing with this on a much more frequent basis than we are on a day-to-day basis. As you look around, we don't deal with it as much. It's a very sad situation that goes on over there right now, and it is causing a rift amongst people. You're seeing a rise of nationalism. You're seeing a rise of angry nationalism in some places, and it's causing a rift. But this is what happens when you have a lax attitude in certain areas, and you also there's a certain sense of segregation in certain areas, and it's self-segregation. A lot of these people who come over, and understand that France has a very complex situation. Their dealings with Algeria and how close they were. You know, you've got a lot of these Islamic countries that speak French as well as Arabic, and it is a very complex situation, and it got ugly, and it's going to continue to get ugly. You know, and we saw it with Charlie Hebdo, we saw it with the attack last year at the Bataclan Theater, we've seen it at Nice, and we'll continue to see it in France, especially. And we see it in smatterings at least once every 2 weeks. Somewhere in Europe, something happens like this. And this is the new world we live in right now. This is, unfortunately, the new world we live in. How you doing, everybody? Happy Thursday. It is 420. It is 420, which is weed awana. All right? You get that? Weed awana. By the way, I'm going to give you a little. This is going to be a walk through the world of weed today. As we talk about the reality that weed should be legal, this is probably the biggest 420 celebration that there has ever been, and mostly because legally weed is becoming legalized across many states. And 420, by the way, how did they come up with that? The mystery of it was solved a while ago, but most people thought, oh, 420, that's like the call sign, right? Like if you catch somebody with weed, the police are like, oh, we got a 420. No. No, no, no. San Rafael, California, there was this mythical pot garden out in the middle of these woods that these kids searched for a long time. And their whole thing is they would meet together at 420 on a daily basis to go search for this mythical thing, and then they'd smoke some weed. Eventually, 420 became the quote-unquote sign, and that caught on. And in the old days, it slowly caught on comparatively to the way that we view it now, which is you can catch something on and it spreads like wildfire overnight. This was a much longer process, but that is where we get 420 from. It's not a mythical call sign in any way, shape, or form. What is the foolishness that we talk about when we talk about weed and the craziness here? And I'm talking about this today because more and more people are embracing not weed culture. And I think the problem with it, like everything else, like what's going on at Fox, right? There was a culture of men getting away with sexually harassing women, and there was this feeling that, you know, this culture had gotten out of hand, and obviously what happened with Riley, and we'll touch on that in a little bit, but there's a culture there. For weed and people who smoke marijuana, that's a culture thing. But they're trying to change the way the culture is and bring it into a mainstream feel. By the way, most people are okay with weed. You listen to my show. You know, I've never had a drink in my life. I've never smoked in my life. Weed or cigarettes. And I've never done a drug. I don't even like to. If I have a headache, I will go as long as I can without taking anything. And the few surgeries I've had on my knees and stuff for soccer, you know what? I will just take a couple ibuprofen and I'll grin and bear it. It's going to change when more and more people start to come into the weed world, if you will, the marijuana world, as an investment opportunity. And with that investment opportunity and the growth of, by the way, the growth is huge. $6.7 billion was spent this year, this last calendar year, on legalized weed. Rand Corporation thinks about another $30 to $40 million was spent on illegal weed. And within a few years, it's going to be $60 billion spent on weed. Places like Oregon are getting $60 million a year in tax revenue. And that's growth in Washington. That's growth in places like Colorado, where it's been big growth. Okay? So, and more, the culture is becoming a culture of money making in a way that it includes vesting. And why that's important is the more that you get mature people who are willing to invest in something, even if they don't use it, the better the opportunity is going to come. And by the way, if you look at the poll numbers, they're pretty much supported. This is a generational thing. And guess what, kids? The generation shift is coming, and more people are thinking it's mainstream.
I think that people are generally supportive of cannabis. I mean, we're now over 60% of the public supports adult use legalization, almost 90% support medical cannabis. And this is happening in state after state after state. And it's clearly a great business opportunity. And of course, people want to participate in that.
Yeah, of course they do. And why that matters is because once that starts to become legitimized, right? The next step is once people start to look at weed as an investment, once the opportunity in the federal side opens up, and that's going to take a while because we have a lot of old, white, stodgy men who are very worried that this is going to be some weird gateway drug, and the next thing you know, you're doing crack cocaine because you smoked a little weed when you were 17 or 18 years old, which is BS, by the way. BS. Oh, you can overdose on it. We were looking today. There are people that have actually made an attempt to overdose on weed, and they couldn't do it. They could not do it. They tried, but they couldn't do it. And the other thing, right, as an adult, you go out, you instead of having a wine, you smoke a little weed, whatever it is. Here's the other thing. The medical aspect of it is huge. It really, really is massive. And that is something to look at, whether it be kids who are struggling. And understand that people are putting this stuff together and doing research, are doing it on a limited budget. But you've seen the results. I've seen the results firsthand with people who take edibles and or sprays and how they have changed in a lot of ways their thought process. Many of them, I have a friend who took the spray after fighting against it when he was diagnosed with cancer, older gentleman, very straight-laced. He decided he was going to try the spray because even his doctor said, you should try this. Doctor, world-famous doctor at UCLA. It changed everything. Couple sprays a day. It was massive for his life. You've seen it with kids and adults who have seizures. There's so many opportunities to look at this. And again, I don't smoke. I don't drink. I don't do it. I don't care if you do either. As an adult, I don't care what you do with your life. As long as you're not hurting somebody else, right? And think about alcohol and the cost of alcohol every year. Right? From cirrhosis of the liver to alcoholism to the damage it does. And then you look at weed and you think, really? The federal government's doing this? But this is Thomas Drayton, and Troy Drayton, he's pointing out something. He's the CEO of a company that is, you know, a big growing weed firm. And one of the things that's interesting is he talks about this is one of those big tent issues.
When we see the poll numbers on how people vote, we find that people, younger people, are more excited about it than older people. But even across the generations, we're starting to see more and more support for this. I really find that cannabis kind of creates the biggest tent. It's one of the few things bringing America together these days.
Yeah, I think it is. Because even an older generation, and let's be real, in fairness to an old, you know, fogey generation, they were sold a bill of goods by the government for years that reefer was going to kill you. That reefer was going to make you go mad, that reefer was going to make you do all kinds of horrible things, and that it was addictive and it was going to do all of these things. They were sold the bill of goods. Then you had the pot culture of stoners, long hair, sitting in the room, doing nothing all day. That didn't help it. The Cheech and Chongs of the world. Now we're at the point where we're starting to realize, as people come out, if you will, of their closet, that it's the businessman, it's the doctor, it's the nurse, it's the psychiatrist, it's the everyday person. It's the mom. It's the dad. It's becoming more mainstream. Not that it wasn't mainstream as far as use. It's just now becoming mainstream when you look across the board and see that everybody's not afraid to say, yeah, I've done it before. It's okay. I use it. I use it. And the more that you get that, and the more they refer to it as cannabis, the less uptight people are going to feel. It's 420, baby. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, C-H-A-D-B-E-N-S-O-N, chat at ChadBensonShow.com. You can text the program, 323-538-2423. And I'll get those text messages from that guy or that lady that likes to tell me what a horrible, evil drug it is and how it is the gateway drug. And I just sit there and say, you know, everybody's got their own opinion. And I love to hear your opinion. But I beg to differ on that one. Hey, safety. It's important to all of us. You've got kids. You've got your family. You've got your house. You've got your goodies. You don't want to lose your goodies, and you don't want to put your family at risk. And you're thinking to yourself, I need some better protection. I'd like to get some sort of protection for the house. What should I do? Well, you can go sign a big contract and put a giant computer screen on the side of your wall. And after 6 months, get annoyed because it goes off and you got to have an IT degree to figure it out. Or there's a simpler way. It's called Simply Safe Home Security. At Simply Safe, you can go online, few clicks, boom. Your Simply Safe home security system's on its way. A few days later, it's on your doorstep. This is what's great. After an hour or so, your home security is up and running. Your house is surrounded with 24/7 professional protection. My son's mom did it. My mom did it. I did it. Kelly, who works here, did it. Everybody I know that has went and got this, you'd be surprised. And the camera, and it's great. And by the way, we love our phones. You can see your house right there on your phone. See your house on your phone. Oh, it's amazing. It doesn't get any simpler than that. And the best part, with Simply Safe, there are no hidden fees, no long-term contracts, no hassle, just better, smarter home security. That's what I want you to do. Go to simplysafe.com/Benson, all right? Right now, you can save 10%, but hurry. This discount's not going to last forever. simplysafe.com/Benson for 10% off your Simply Safe home security system. simplysafe.com/Benson. You won't be disappointed. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, C-H-A-D-B-E-N-S-O-N, chat at chadbensonshow.com. We got your urban word of the day. We got the Bill O'Reilly fallout as it continues. So much more to get to today. It's the Chad Benson Show.
Chad Benson. He's more popular in France than Jerry Lewis.
This is a great bill. This is a great plan. And this will be great health care. It's evolving. You know, there was never a give up.
Trump today talking about health care because they have made some big strides, apparently, in the world of health care. And it is going to get done, it looks like, sooner rather than later. Sometimes you walk away, you let the dust settle. Everybody goes, well, that was stupid. We need to come together because everybody's pissed off at us. Cooler heads prevail. And next thing you know, they move on into a better, more clear-headed, okay, let's get down to work. Enough of our ideology, my way or the highway. I get you've got your wants. My people have their wants. What can we do to come together and make this a better situation?
The plan gets better and better and better, and it's gotten really, really good. And a lot of people are liking it a lot. We have a good chance of getting it soon.
Soon. He's saying here probably in the next 2 weeks or so. So I don't know when that's going to be. But probably in the next 2 weeks, they're going to announce something and they're going to try to get something done. And if lo and behold, they're able to pull this off, he's able to start figuring out tax reforms. And by the way, the regulations, he's cut about $90 billion in regulations off. That to me, that's some work right there. It's going to be a bit of a trickle down where at the lowest unemployment filings, as far as people getting unemployment who are on unemployment, it's down to the lowest it's been in 17 years. So now it's not all him because there is still some trickle in of what took place before. But I attribute a good portion of a lot of these things moving in that direction as he's playing a big part. It's not all rosy. It's not. The retail sector is taking a hit, but it is a good look. And I feel like we're getting close to having this engine revved up. And I expect after summer, we're going to start to feel this thing really take off. People are going to sink into a feeling of comfortability, and they're going to start to go out and do stuff. And I think the fourth quarter and Christmas time is going to look great. You can text the program, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. Before we do any of those, I got some funny texts to get to about the weed. Speaking of weed, we do have the urban word of the day. Shall we hear it, bro?
It's time for the urban word of the day, fam.
What? Right now?
Time to get a little more hip on the streets.
I can't understand a word you're saying.
Urban word of the day.
Your urban word of the day today is cheeched on this most festive 420. Cheeched, kids. Cheeched. What's it mean? Well, you smoked a lot of the ganja, and maybe, just maybe, you're a little cheeched. Meaning you're like, oh, dude, no way. You could probably call it Spicoli as well. But cheeched, being cheeched, where you're kind of out of it, kind of in a grayish haze, and your eyes are glossy. Yeah, that's your 420 urban word of the day, cheeched.
Thank you for saying that in dated urban slang so that I'll understand you.
That there was the urban word of the day. We damn stretched your cranium.
Ah, cranium stretched indeed. We've got some text messages coming in. Let's see here. Hey, Chad, them pot-smoking hippies are 67 to 73 years old now, and they're directly responsible for making it acceptable in society. I think there is some of that, too, right? Some of those but the culture of love and all that summer of love stuff and the people smoking, there wasn't as many as a lot of people think. Also, texter writes in and says, Chad, I told you this was going to happen. Maybe not like this. Weed is a gateway drug. It's a gateway to the refrigerator. It's a gateway to the couch and the Xbox. Yes. Yes, it is a gateway to all of those things. I think we realize that. But they're not all stoners who are all like that. Again, you come home and you have a glass of wine or a couple beers. You come home and you maybe take a hit and relax a little bit and you get on with your life. You've committed to doing it. Now, if you wake and bake, maybe a different story. But if it works for you and you're adult and you're not hurting anybody and that is the life you choose, who am I to say no? Right? Who am I, Chad Benson, to say no to that? The Chad Benson Show Facebook, at Chad Benson Show Twitter. You can text the program, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. We know what Bill O'Reilly got to go away. Is this a good thing, a bad thing? Are there bigger issues at play here for the conservative media? We'll talk about that and ooh, so much more, man. It's the Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show.
Independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
You've got me stones in my bedroom. Stone.
It is 420. People are probably like, he's advocating the smoking of weed. No, I'm just an adult having an adult conversation over something that I find completely ridiculous in this day and age that we have to have this conversation. Here's some weed facts that you're going to be getting throughout the day, whether you like it or not. The egg industry was very mad that the iconic 1987 This Is Your Brain drug industry PSA came out because they thought the kids would misconstrued that if you ate an egg, your brain was going to be a mess. They were very upset. Speaking of that same PSA, the actor who starred in it has since reversed his position on pot and actually voted for legalization in 2016. Oh, my goodness. Why can't we have adult conversations without people losing their mind? I think it's a fair question, right? 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423. Rob and Cali, what's happening?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing good, brother. What's going on?
Hey, listen, I just want to make a quick comment about the legalization of marijuana. I want to kind of explain my theory on how this thing kind of works. I mean, you're never going to, you say it's a bunch of old guys, curmudgeons that don't really know. They think it's a gateway drug, and I beg to differ. I think it's literally the fact that no matter who it is in Congress, you're not going to get somebody to vote for it because the pharmaceutical companies are so deep in these guys' pockets that they're never going to actually go for it because they do not make money off alternative medicine. And a perfect example would be the fact that someone like Gilead Sciences goes ahead and creates a drug for hepatitis C, and we are the largest consumer in America for hepatitis C. Well, laws that were passed in 2012 don't allow our insurance companies to purchase drugs worldwide through the open market. So They sell this cure for hepatitis C in the United States for $900 a pill, while they sell it in Egypt and every other country for $20 a pill. Then they go to Congress and say, we need $10 billion to go ahead and fix hepatitis C in our Veterans Administration. And they won't give it to them because it's a certain amount of money. And then what you get in the media is left and right, they get to blame each other, saying, oh, you're not for veterans, and you're not for veterans, and you're just trying to help pharmaceutical companies. Meanwhile, nothing gets done. The only thing that's going to happen is them passing bills that are going to be for their own self, like the one that was just passed, take away our security on the Internet, and you never heard anything about it. They're never going to do anything besides introduce bills and then go to their constituents and say they introduced a bill to legalize all the people in the United States. But they never actually do it. They only do things behind the scenes.
No, I agree. Look, Rob, it is a money situation. You hit it out of the park. At some point in time, though, Rob, this is what's going to happen. The tobacco industry is going to make a run at marijuana to cultivate it and get involved in it because they've got just as much money and they can fight big pharma everywhere. On top of that, some big pharma companies are going to look at the opportunity and they're going to jump and grab onto it early and they're going to become a part of it. And marijuana itself is getting big enough that they're having the thing that matters the most. It's not a great idea. It's, do you have a good lobbyist to sell you in D.C.? More and more, this is becoming mainstream. And eventually, there's going to be a tipping point amongst voters where you're going to look and say 47 states have agreed to make this thing either medically legal or legal across the board. So we might as well get on board with it. I appreciate your call. 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423. But he's right in some ways when it comes to pharmaceuticals. Right now, that's the big business. In California, where we're going to be legal, we're already medically legal, but I think it's 2018, it becomes legal. In California, the ones who fought against a lot of the legalization were actually big pot growers themselves because they didn't want the small individuals to be able to cultivate and grow inside of their own homes. Takes away some of their business. So you got to look who's funding what. I always say, whenever you see any of these ads out there against something, look and see who's funding it because that often tells you what's going on for real. 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423. Should he be fired? Shouldn't he be fired? He was fired. Let go, whatever you want to call it. Bill O'Reilly's out. Yesterday, I was listening to so many people in the talking head world of radio, conservative radio especially, just losing their mind. Just, oh, my God. As if somehow that this was like, this is it, right? Like, Fox doesn't exist anymore. They're gone. No, they're still there? Well, nobody's going to watch Fox anymore. Oh, wait, what? Well, it's you're never too big, all right? Again, I'm a peon in the world. I tell people that all the time. I never, ever, ever, ever pretend to be anything than just me. But you're never too big, right? You're never too big. I don't know who thinks that they're all too big. Elvis died. Music went on. Beatles broke up. Music went on, right? Babe Ruth died. We still play baseball. Just I'm pointing it out there. It happens still. All right? He's gone. It's true. He's gone. And, you know, people are pissed. People are extremely pissed. It's not just anymore that you are gone, right? It's not even about you being gone anymore, right? Like, you being gone. Now we have to pile on top of all of that. And there's more than just what took place at Fox. All right. He was the habitual line stepper, as Charlie Murphy would say, habitual line stepper. Always there seemed to be a pattern of behavior at Fox amongst even some executives, but him as well. The big settlement came like, what, 8-9 years ago? And there has been other ones. Apparently, there's another lawsuit that was filed here just the other day. And apparently, some other ones are getting ready to be filed. There's going to be a slew of them potentially. Some of those are money seekers. Not going to lie to you. Some of those may have never really come across them in any way, shape, or form, but they're looking for something. But when you have as much accusations as he's had here, you start to go, that's not a brush fire. That's a wildfire. And Smokey the Bear says only you, Bill O'Reilly, can present and stop wildfires.
True. Well, remember, more evidence apparently has been coming forward. Just the other day, a woman apparently contacted Fox and said that she too was harassed. Hard to keep track of how many women now have made these allegations. And I think, you know, at a certain point, it becomes untenable for Fox to keep him. Gabe Sherman also tweeted out that other executives at News Corp and at Fox were concerned as well. So it's not just Fox. It's also companies like Dow Jones, HarperCollins, you know, all part of the Murdoch empire.
A few things. You've got a son and a daughter who are running everything here, but the son is really taking control. He's putting his stamp on things. He's lost Kelly, Megyn Kelly, and getting rid, I think, of this was I mean, it's a look to the future, right? They just inked a huge deal with him that apparently he got $25 million for, and people are pissed about that to go away. But you may know he made two, but we looked. 21 years, of which a good decade plus, he was number one, on average, probably doing, I would say, about $2 billion worth of business to him. This is, it is what it is, right? Your golden parachute, whatever you want to call it, go, you know, have a nice day, have a nice life, get out of here, scenario that took place, all right? It's, you may not like it, but that's what it is. The people that are freaking out, and I understand that there was a lot of people on the left who were wishing for this, a lot of people on the left who were pushing for this. There were groups out there that targeted him and went after him on numerous occasions, and one group, I think they're called the Sleeping Giants or whatever, who is a it's a Twitter slash Facebook group that is a bunch of marketers who really went hard at this and are being kind of hailed as the Pied Piper that brought all of these groups together, and on top of that, brought with them all of the advertisers and had them take a look and go, okay, we've got to get away. This guy's toxic. We don't want a world where if we don't like what you have to say, we're going to do everything we can to get rid of you. And advertisers don't want that either. They don't. They don't want that either. Because what ends up happening is advertisers have to realize that they're going to lose half their audience one way or another. What do? The left is far better at the right at doing these kind of things. Because I think the right people are like, this is stupid. I'm not going to boycott something I may like. Unless it's something that's so just ridiculous. But you've got the son. He's put a stamp. I think he's looking to go younger. I think O'Reilly was a headache. And on top of that, his wife wasn't a fan. And his wife's a little bit more liberal. And I'm talking about the son's wife. His wife is, little birdies have been telling me that she had a little bit more to do with this kind of let's get dig deeper kind of scenario into this kind of thing. And you know what? It's a question you ask all the time, right? Like if you're a GM of a pro football team and you have a chance to bring in a guy who's a great player, but he's been accused and or convicted of beating up a woman, and you've got a wife and daughter, you look over there and you think to yourself, is this what I want to do? On the other hand, I want to win football games, but I also have a wife and a daughter. And those are things you think about. They are. But eventually it's too big, right? It comes down and it collapses on you. I don't know what he's going to do. I would say he'd walk away, except for one thing. I don't think he wants this to be the finale of his career. I don't think he wants to be. The last word is, you were shamed out of Fox, and because of that, you know, you're going to be, this is going to be on you forever. I don't think he wants that. I think he's going to, and I don't even know if he's going to go back to, say, regular TV, cable TV. I don't think he will. I think what he's going to do eventually is he's going to end up on a place like Chris Ruddy, who owns Newsmax, will come to him in 6 months or a year and say, we'll do a subscription-based thing. We'll throw you on that. We'll get some of the direct response people that wanted to stick with you and that were sticking with you. And if you've got that kind of clout where you can bring, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 million people to watch you nightly and pay $10 a month, it's a win-win for everybody. That's what I think is eventually going to happen. He doesn't want this to be the last. I don't think he's going to ride off into the sunset. He doesn't want to ride off in the sunset like this. This wasn't his choice. He was pushed. He didn't jump. He didn't. And Fox has a culture there, a culture that they better figure out how to change. I know today we were able to get our cameras inside of there and take a listen to what is going on currently at Fox when it comes to, you know, the culture change and how this is all going about. And they're really trying very, very hard. They brought in a big-time professional.
Please welcome Petey, the sexual harassment panda. who lives in East Mythology, sexual harassment. Panda who explains sexual harassment to you and me, sexual harassment. Panda, don't say that, don't touch there, don't be nasty, says the silly bear. He's going to tell you what's right and wrong, sexual harassment. Panda.
Hi, boys and girls.
Bill O'Reilly would have had that about 10, 15 years ago. We probably wouldn't be in this mess. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter. You text the program, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. It's the Chad Benson Show.
Feeling confused? No worries. That's why he's here. This is the Chad Benson Show. Setting things straight.
We're definitely doing that. Even on this 420, we are going to set folk straight. You ready for that? Australia has a prime minister by the name of Malcolm Turnbull. It's correct, Malcolm Turnbull. G'day there. Hope everybody's happy. It's good to be here, I say. Well, guess what, kids? He has got a bit of the, how should I say this? Oh, he's got a bit of the Trump in him as far as immigration goes. Australian citizens are, I think, getting quite behind him in what he has proposed, which is sweeping changes today to the way that people become citizens of Australia. First and foremost, you have to be there for a year as a permanent resident, and then you can apply for citizenship. He wants to make that 4 years. Secondly, you have to show higher English competency and display even more evidence of integration through work or school, and you must have respect for women and children. Wah, 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 wah. This is aimed at a particular group of people who tend to go to places. And, well, guess what? You know, they want to live the life that they had led before. They just want to do it elsewhere where it's safe. And they've shown no want to integrate. And that has been a problem amongst a lot of people that have escaped war-torn areas like Syria and Iraq and throughout the Middle East, is they come and they want to live very similar to the way they lived before, without integrating, and it ends up becoming a segregation, and then there ends up being bitterness, and you can't do that. If you're going to go to somebody's home, and you're going to live in somebody's home, then you should learn about that person's home, and you should learn about who they are, and you should integrate as best as possible. I'm not saying get rid of your wants, your beliefs, any of those things, right? I'm not saying that. Not saying any of that stuff. What I am saying, though, is try to integrate. That's it. That's it. Try to put it out there. Become part of the integration solution. You'd be surprised how much better life is when you integrate. I'm just saying. I'm putting it out there. Babysitters. Guess what, kids? Babysitters are earning over $14 an average. That's pretty good, man. That is great. According to a new study. And one of the reasons this is because more adults are babysitting now. And people are, it's not really babysitting anymore, it's childcare. So you're able to, you know, go over to somebody's house and they're looking for people that will, for all intents and purposes, be more than just somebody who watches, right? Somebody who watches the child, but, you know, interacts with the child. Teaches the child several different things rather than just sit there and stare at them and go, duh. But the wage growth is huge. The wage growth is massive. Parents are now paying $13.97 an hour for their sitter. That's a 26% surge. And this is according to care.com. Healthy wage growth, by the way. Healthy. The boost in babysitting wage means sitters are catching up, inching up on the typical worker. The medium wage in America in 2016 for the typical worker, $17.86 an hour. That's according to the Economic Policy Institute. So, of course, they get benefits and other things like that. But you know what? If you're willing to spend that kind of cash, and nothing wrong with that, right? You're willing to spend. I have no problem paying somebody $20 an hour to watch Jack, even though he never has. There's never a need for that. Now, I will pay you $100 an hour to watch my little brothers and sisters. But you must sign a waiver that if you do not return from the babysitting job at my brothers and sisters' house, that you will not sue, and neither will none of your next of kin are going to come after me. That's it. That's fair. That's fair. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBensonShow.com, Chad@ChadBensonShow.com. Several people have texted me about the whole weed thing, saying, you know, isn't it a body thing, right? It's your body. Shouldn't you be allowed to do stuff with your body? I've always thought that, too, right? It's my body. Want to put ink on my body? I'm going to go do that. Well, you can do that now. Yeah, that's right. But if you want to put something in your body, that's your body. If you're not hurting somebody, then shouldn't it be about you? Just throwing it out there. Text the program, 323-538-2423. 323-538-2423. Happy Tequila Thursday and 420 to you. It's the Chad Benson Show.
This is the Chad Benson Show.